Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, come on. We can do better than that. We're here to worship God. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
That's a lot more enthusiastic. I think it's interesting the things that run through your head as you do the things you do throughout your daily life. We were singing Sing Hallelujah to the Lord, and that's one of my favorite songs, and we were overseas in China. We used to sing it a lot, but it occurred to me that the Chinese translation doesn't translate the same as the English translation, and that's what I was thinking a little bit ago. So instead of singing to the Lord, the Chinese say, we sing at the Lord. Just weird things. Anyway, it's good to see you all today. I do see some new faces in here, which is excellent. If you are a visitor, you are honored guests, and we are glad to have you. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know, because we know you can choose to worship anywhere, and we're glad you chose to worship with us today. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings every single day. We thank you that we have today to come together and worship you, and as we go throughout our worship, we ask that you be with us, bless with us, but most importantly, Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done. Help us continue to see you through our worship. In the heavenly name we pray. Amen. All right, today we're going to be going back to Philippians. And I'm going to be moving on to my second lesson in Philippians. If you were not here last week, you missed our first one where we talked a lot about joy. Now, last week I told you I kind of did a topical sermon on the lesson of Philippians. I'm kind of going to do the same thing today before going into next week where I'll actually start doing what's called an expository sermon. That's what I've done in the past, where I basically just look at pretty much the chapters and verse and what kind of lessons we can get out of our lives. But I told you I wanted to do this last week because there were two very important themes in Philippians that Paul talks about quite a bit, but they're spread throughout the whole book that it's kind of hard to cover them in their individual sections. So last week I did that with joy, and I talked about how we have so much joy in Christ. And there's one thing that I concluded by saying we should never do is we should never settle for a total lack of joy in Christ. And one of the things, and I covered all 13 verses, no, not verses, times that Paul uses the phrase rejoice or joy, with emphasis put on how we should proclaim the gospel and how we are to send and receive each other. Now, these are very, very important, what I have to talk about today, because this ties in greatly with our second theme, which is partnership. Paul uses the word partnership quite a number of times in the book of, well, not necessarily that word, but phrases like that word in the book of Philippians. Now, do you guys have great partnerships? I have a really great partnership with my wife, and I definitely know I'm the short end of the stick there. But sometimes there are just things that there are people that I have to work with that I don't want to work with at all. And those can be terrible partnerships, but they can also be really, really good partnerships. I want to tell you about one of these cases. When I was a junior in high school, a teacher that I had a class with before, she came up to me and she goes, John Paul, I'm kind of in a bind and I want to know if you can help me with something. And I love this woman. I would have done anything for this woman. She was one of my favorite teachers. And I said, what do you need me to do? And she goes, well, I run the competitive speech competition, and I am one of the people lost their partner, and they need a partner to help them out. And I go, well, okay, what exactly is that? Because I had never even heard of competitive speech. And she goes, you're going to be performing a skit from Neil Simon called Plaza Suite. How many of you ever heard of Plaza Suite by Neil Simon? One of you? I love this skit. It's hilarious. But basically, the premise of this skit is there is a husband and a wife that are arguing with each other because their daughter has locked herself in the bathroom on her wedding day, and they're trying to get her to come out. It's pretty funny. If you ever get an opportunity, you should watch it. But besides that, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know exactly what you want me to do, but, you know, I'll do it. And so she goes, okay, I need you to come after school on this day. She gave me the script. I read it. Well, I'm like, well, this is pretty funny. I can do this. And that the next day I came and I met my partner. And I could tell quite by the end of that day that something was off. I got the impression that this person, for whatever reason there was, did not like me. And I thought, well, okay, maybe it's just me. But by the end of the week, that was quite clear that this person did not like me. Anybody have that impression with me? No, don't answer that. And so it just got worse from there. And so about a few weeks later, we went to our first competition. And we go and we do our first performance for the judge. And as soon as it was over, she turns to me and she yells to me about messing up a line. And so I just let her have it. I wasn't even going to give her the benefit of the doubt. So I criticized everything she did wrong because she felt like I was upset that she was picking on me but was ignoring her own shortcomings. You guys know what happened? We won. We won that round of the competition. We won the next round of the competition. And we won the next round of the competition. But all day, we just kept yelling at each other. Where we went into the finals tied for first place. We didn't win that one. We came in second. But we would go on to win. And about a few days later, I went to the teacher lady, and I asked her, and I said, I just don't think I can do this. I mean, it's very clearly that we don't get along. And she asked me, what is Plaza Suite about? And I told her, it's a married couple trying to get their daughter about. She goes, no, it's a married couple arguing over their daughter coming out of the bathroom. You guys don't like each other in real life, and you're translating that into your performance. And so it works really well with you. Keep arguing. It was a very strange partnership, and as soon as it was over, we never talked again. But it worked really, really well for us, and I can't see that working anywhere else in the world. Because the world tells you, you need to get along, and there are great ways that you can get along. On Wednesday, John talked about communication. Communication is important because it helps you get along. You listen to people. You avoid your drama. You do your part. You become dependable. Don't worry. Don't focus on the negative. Focus on the positive. All these things help you to be better communicators. And if you can communicate effectively, you can be one of the most agreeable people in the world. Some of us really, really struggle with that. And so this is one of Paul's main points in Philippians, is how you can be good communicators with each other. But Paul isn't alone here. I mean, the Bible is full of ways on how to get along. In fact, I chose 5 out of probably like 200. So these are just some of the ways the apostles and writers of the New Testament tell us we can get along. Be kind, be considerate, be like-minded, use your gifts. See, these are very, very similar to all those. No, Mary Joyce says no. No, you're talking to someone else. Minister to one each other because of this. We have to get along because we have a partnership. And this is Paul's point of Philippians. Paul says this in 9 different ways in the book of Philippians, is that you have this partnership in Christ. In fact, if you look at these 9 different ways, a lot of them are tied with our topic of last week. You have this joy in Christ, and part of that joy is because you work together in Christ. Are we good at that? Maybe. Is Warrensburg good at that? Yes, there are things that we're very, very good at. The ladies are very good about getting together and working together to help each other out. The men work in partnership to take care of the business-related expenses. We do things in the community, but sometimes we often fall short of the individual partnerships that we have. We kind of form these cliques where we just connect to certain people in the congregation. Is that good? Is that healthy? It's healthy for those people, but it is really neglecting the whole body of the church. We're not told to look at one part of that, but we're told to look at every part of that. I'm going a little fast. I know I'll slow down. And so Paul tells us in Corinthians that we are God's fellow workers. We have this partnership in Christ, and there's so much that partnership means. And the first thing that Paul writes about it is probably one of the most important because it kind of connects. All other partnerships we have are connected to this one thing. Our partnership in Christ is a partnership in the gospel. Paul thinks this point is so important that he mentions it at least twice in verse 1 and in verse, in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day and now, but now you know Timothy proven worth as a son with me, a father. He has served with me in the gospel. Do we serve together in the gospel? Yes. How did you guys come to know Christ? You learned it probably the same way we all did. You learned it from the gospel. You heard the gospel. You believed the gospel. You became who you are as the gospel. But the gospel is not just for you. The gospel is for everybody. And we all share in that partnership in the gospel. And we also share in spreading that message in the gospel. It is the basis for all our salvation because without it, nothing else matters. Nothing else. Who you are might define you, but it doesn't really say much about you without the gospel. And so it is our job as Christians to be partners in the gospel. It is also our job as Christians to be partners in grace. My friend told me a long time ago something about grace. She said, I like grace. Because grace isn't just something that you get a little bit of. It covers you all over. And so it doesn't really matter what you've done. It doesn't really matter if you stole something. It doesn't really matter if you're a liar. I'm a terrible liar, so if I lie, you probably know I'm lying. It doesn't really matter if you killed someone. No, see, now we've gotten a little serious. Because grace can forgive you. So while it doesn't matter why you need grace, the grace you receive not only forgives you, but it is also the same grace that everybody gets. Is there any gift greater than grace? No, there's not. So our gift in grace is also part, we share in that partnership of receiving that grace. Which is why Paul says here, we are all partakers in the same grace that he received. Thousands of years later, we have the same grace Paul has. We are also partners in prayer. For I know that through your prayers and help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Now the Bible has a lot to say about prayer, and it especially has a lot to say about individual prayer. Should you pray as an individual? Absolutely. Every single day. Don't neglect it. Never. But should you pray as partners? Yes. Because it has a very different function than your individual prayer. You are supposed to be daily communicating with God. But there's something that a group prayer gets, a partnership prayer gets, that an individual prayer doesn't get. Is it gets power. And it is something that we do as part of our worship. So be partners in your prayer. Do not neglect to pray with and for each other. All part of that grace that you heard with the gospel. You are also partners in faith. This one was a little bit hard for me to kind of flesh out. I spent more time on this one point than any other point because I'm like, well, I mean, that seems kind of obvious, but faith kind of applies to the individual, right? I mean, my faith is not the same as your faith. No, it is. It is. The same as your faith. Maybe my faith is not as strong or it is stronger than your faith, but the faith that we have should be the same. This is why when you look at Philippians 1:27, Paul talks about people believe for different reasons. And he says some people believe out of envy or strife. And he says those people are going to have problems. But he says, some people believe because they stand firm in the one Spirit. And this is where our faith should be. And so we are united in that faith. For those of us who live in the Spirit, we become partners in that faith. Because what is our faith in? Our faith should not be in fear, but it should be in the love of God that He had to sacrifice His Son for us, that we may be forgiven. So we are partners in one faith. We are also partners in Christ that is sustained by the community. One of the reasons Paul wrote this book, if there is two sisters, Christian sisters, I don't know if they're biological. I'm going to assume they're not. But a few times in the book of Philippians, it's clear that these sisters are having a problem. And Eutychus and Syntyche? Yeah, I can never say her name correctly. But it's irrelevant. Their names are irrelevant. The issue is they're having a problem, and this problem is causing strife between them. And so Paul writes this book to encourage their unity, not only in each other, but that the church itself may continue to encourage them. Look at the things that Paul says about, I'm not even going to try this one either, Euphorbius? I'm terrible at Bible names. Aphrodite. This person was sent by the church in Philippi to Paul, to help Paul, and Paul sends him back. But I love the language that Paul uses about this man. He says, fellow worker, fellow soldier, and your messenger. Nothing about this is individual. Do we have a one-person army? Do we have a one-person job? Do we have a one-person messenger? No. All of this is done through a partnership. We are designed to work together, not be alone in who we are. And so our partnership is dependent on us supporting one another. Our partnership is one of imitation. Why does the Church of Christ exist? The Church of Christ exists because we recognize that there are ways to worship that might not be done properly. And so when we look at examples of worship, our attempt is to imitate the first century church. Is the Church of Christ right? Probably not. I'm sure there are things that are getting wrong. But it is, we understand that we work on imitation. And so we follow the example of the people who came before us. So when Paul says, brothers, join in imitating me, he's not saying that he is the perfect example, but he's saying join in his strive to imitate Christ. And that is the same way, why we worship this way, is to strive to follow Christ's example. And so our partnership is one of imitation. And this is one of my favorite ones. Our partnership is one of giving and receiving. Last week I said it is a joy to give and receive each other. How many people like giving up their money every week to the church? Some of you? Yeah. Co says it's not hers. Well, that's a different story, Co. But just because it's not yours doesn't mean you like doing it. Well, good for you, Co. I'm very happy. But Co is right. It's not our money. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're happy about it. So when we look at what Paul, both Paul and Moses write that it is, you should have joy or be cheerful about giving your money. Because it should be a joy for you. That money sustains the work. But it's not just about the money. You should be cheerful in your concern for one another, in encouragement, because we have to work together. The work is going to... God can sustain the work any way He wants, but He has chosen to be sane this way, and because we are imitators, we partnership in that giving and receiving as well. But there's a lot of complications to this. Just like joy, I did this little section last week about not being fooled. There are things that partnership doesn't promise you either. You are going to disagree. I've had plenty of you disagree with me, and I enjoy that you disagree with me because sometimes you prove me wrong, and I'm completely okay with that. Sometimes you're not going to get along, just like I didn't get along with that lady in high school. Sometimes you're not going to like each other, and that's okay because you have to love each other. And sometimes you're not going to be happy, and sometimes you're not going to be working together with the people you want to be working together with. But it's not about any of that. It's about doing God's will. That's why God has us working together. This phrase, I played a video game when I was a kid, and there was this phrase in the video game that said, "It's dangerous to go alone. Take this." I thought of that immediately as I wrote this. But the world is a dangerous place, right? So you're going to have worldly concerns. You're going to have spiritual woes. But you do not have to be alone. And that's what Paul is saying here, is you have this wonderful thing outside the wonderful gift that I've already given you, is you have each other. And that while you should never settle for any total lack of joy, you should never settle for being alone either. Because you do not have to. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one of us suffers, we all suffer. When one of us experiences great joy, we should all experience great joy because we are partners in Christ. Does anybody feel alone? Does anybody suffer alone? You do not have to, because we are here to help. So if there's something we can help you with, we invite you to come forward as we sing this song.